case for argument, United States v. Ne. Mr. Stevens, I don't know if I'm pronouncing your client's name correctly.
Your Honor?
He says Mukes?
Mukes, yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry. I thought he was French.
This is an unusual case. It's not a case about whether Mr. Mukes owes $100,000 plus in restitution. It's not a case about whether money is available toward that restitution. It's a case about the procedure that the government followed in attempting to collect that restitution. The government had at its...
But what do you have to gain from this appeal?
Yeah.
Right? What do you have to gain? So he got the notice. Everything that going through one of these statutes would have given your client, he got all of that. So if it's sent back for further proceeding, the outcome is foreordained, right? What is?
I think probably the outcome is
well, then what's the point of taking an appeal if the result is foreordained?
I think the short answer, Judge, is...
Any amount of money, which he's obviously going to give up. So what's the point?
I think the short answer, Judge, is that an individual has the right to direct his attorney to file an appeal from a judgment. And in this case, the government failed to follow the procedures as set forth under the statute.
There's no injury. There's no harm.
Well... I think the significance of the appeal, Judge, is that the government needs to be directed that it's important to follow the procedures.
Why is it important? If there's no abuse, they got the notice.
It's important, Judge, because if the government is not held to the requirements of statutory law as established by Congress, then there is no control over the action of the government.
You're not supposed to have litigation. I mean, this goes back to our first case. You're not supposed to have litigation unless there are stakes of some sort, something you might gain from the litigation. If you have nothing to gain, what's the point of litigating? What's the point of an appeal if there's nothing to be gained from the appeal?
Judge, I think what's gained in the appeal is a systemic gain in that it ensures the integrity...
By that token... I could have taken the appeal, right? And I would have provided the same systemic gain. I could rummage through court records, and any time I found some irregularity, I'd file a lawsuit.
Well, except, Judge, that you would not be a party to that.
I don't allow that.
You would not be a party, and that's...
But the point is, you can't bring a lawsuit, or you're not supposed to bring a lawsuit or an appeal if you have nothing to gain.
Again, Judge, the...
It's wasting everyone's time.
The entire system of law that we have is built on a system of procedures, a system of rights, a system of actions that are established by Congress, established by the courts, established by rules and regulations by agencies.
But we have all these doctrines like harmless error, which dissolve the mistakes which are inevitable in a legal system like ours.
I don't think harmless error is an issue here, Judge, because I think it goes to a fundamental question of jurisdiction of a magistrate judge to enter an order in the manner that the magistrate judge entered it. There the crux of the matter lies. If there is no jurisdiction, then...
Is it because he's a magistrate judge or because he didn't say the right things in his order?
It's because he's a magistrate judge.
No procedure, no statute under which he could make this forfeiture order?
Under the Federal Debt Collection Act, no, there's not. He could bring a garnishment, or he could preside over a garnishment, several other procedures.
Okay, so we'll call it garnishment.
The government did not follow the procedure for garnishment.
Okay, right. There's a procedural error, but it's not that a magistrate judge doesn't have the power to enter a forfeiture order. It's just he's supposed to do it under the garnishment statute. He did it under the wrong statute or no statute, but if he'd done it under the right statute, we'd be in the identical place we are now.
I think had the government brought a garnishment action and followed the procedure under the garnishment statute, then we wouldn't be here today.
So
likewise, had the government gone to the district court...
With jurisdiction. It's just having to do with naming the wrong statute or not naming the right statute. Right?
I would respectfully disagree, Your Honor, because the magistrate judge has jurisdiction under the Federal Debt Collection Act to preside over certain types of proceedings. This was not brought pursuant to those types of proceedings.
But if it had been called garnishment, then he could have done it, right?
Had the procedure been followed?
So it's just a nomenclature issue.
And had it been brought as a garnishment action,
well,
I would agree.
Okay, so let's say it was misnamed. It was really a garnishment action. Why don't we say that?
Judge, I see my time is up. Do you require a response?
I'd like to make a response, or maybe it's unanswerable.
Judge, I think my position is set out in our briefs, and I would rely on that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Ms. Johnson?
Good morning. One is the government's position that the magistrate did have proper jurisdiction over this matter. Title 28, United States Code, Section 3008 specifically says that the magistrate may rule over and preside over post-judgment proceedings, including garnishment and other efforts to collect restitution.
Does that mean that he can enter the final order, or does that mean he has to make a report and recommendation?
It is our position that based on the plain language of that statute that the magistrate can make the final order on those matters. In fact, in the same cause, the district court referred this matter to the magistrate to rule on a garnishment. An agreed garnishment was filed, and the magistrate responded and ordered that garnishment. We say that looking at the plain language of that statute says that the magistrate can confer and has jurisdiction over those matters. In this case, respectfully, I know counsel stated that the government did not follow the Federal Debt Collection Procedures Act, but the government did follow that act. That act specifically states that the government can use a broad range of procedural actions to collect restitution. It does not limit to the specific set forth in the actual statute, such as garnishment. In this case, the government chose to seek a motion for turnover order because the money was actually with a government entity, the United States Marshal Service. So in this situation, basically, much like an offset, the government was asking the court to approve taking the money from the hands of the Marshal Service and transferring it over to the clerk's office to use for restitution.
Counsel, let me ask you a question about that. The money initially was taken from the defendant 2001, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
What happened to this money? Just sat for 7 years? Is there any procedure to turn over funds back to the owner of those funds?
It is not clear to counsel at this time why that money sat there during that time, but it was seized pursuant to the unrelated drug investigation.
Correct.
It was not forfeited.
That's a property of the defendant at that time.
Yes.
Until such time as it's forfeited, right? Is there a procedure in place to say if it stays for so many years? Did the defendant ask for that money at any time?
It is our belief that he did not ask for that money at any time, and I believe at this time the facts are undisputed. There was never a request for the money, and there's no dispute that but for the restitution order, the money would have been returned to the defendant. If you're alluding to possibly an abandonment proceedings, that was something that we also contemplated, but based on the fact that there was this restitution order, and we felt that the money was basically being transferred from one government entity to another, we thought that the turnover order would be the appropriate remedy. And as the court has already recognized and acknowledged, the defendant was still afforded all the same due process that he would have had if there had been a garnishment proceeding. He was given notice of our request for motion. He was afforded counsel. He was afforded the opportunity to have a hearing. Based on all of these allegations and the statutes, the government submits that we did follow the Federal Debt Collection Procedures Act and that the magistrate did have proper jurisdiction over this matter, and we ask that you affirm the magistrate's order. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. And Mr. Stevens, your time has expired, and we'll move on to our next case. Northern versus Boatwright.